You see, much of what I learned in school was very useless, and I'm sure that some of you can relate. But there is something I learned in physics that is very important in life. We learned about Newton's laws of motion. And even if I might not know what it is verbatim, the first one goes like this: that an object will remain in a state of rest or in constant speed except acted upon by an external force. Is that true? And you know, I've told you time and again, the Bible says that the invisible things about God are clearly seen in the things that he has made, such that man is without excuse. And what that means is that in the natural, there are principles that are a reflection of spiritual laws. And I want to make you understand that the law of motion is the law of life, that your life will remain stagnant except if something happens. Do you know, there's an aspect to that that is a little bit depressing, that the way you are now, except you do something, in the next 20 years, you will be like this. So now I'm here to tell you, there is nothing about the passage of time that improves the quality of your life. Your life will remain at the same position, except something external. And for you, this message might be that external force. I'm hoping it will be that a fire will be shot up in your spirit, and you say, I can't remain like this. My life must change. And then you take actionable steps. Change will not just happen due to the passage of time. If your life will change radically, you must change radically. Please, are you listening to this? I'm just going to share with you for a few minutes, because honestly speaking, I didn't plan, you know, to be with you today. You know, but there is something in my heart that I'm just going to share for a few minutes. Then we pray one prayer and then we're out of here. Is that okay? You see, much of what I learned in school was very useless. Very, very useless. And I'm sure that some of you can relate. Were you ever in a classroom and they were teaching you this and you were like, what? How is this relevant in the scheme of things? Like your Yoruba man would say, kilo komi. What's my business with this? But there is something I learned in physics that is very important in life. We learned about Newton's laws of motion. Those of you who went to good schools, at least you have if you passed, I think you have a faint recollection. And even if I might not know what it is verbatim, it goes like this. The first one goes like this: that an object will remain in a state of rest or in constant speed except acted upon by an external force. Is that true? And you know, I've told you time and again, the Bible says that the invisible things about God are clearly seen in the things that he has made, such that man is without excuse. And what that means is that in the natural, there are principles that are a reflection of spiritual laws. And I want to make you understand that the law of motion is the law of life. That your life will remain stagnant except if something happens. Change will not just happen due to the passage of time. If your life will change radically, you must change radically. Please, are you listening to this? You see, you may know something and you can be challenged by what you know, and your life can change. So I'm hoping that you will take what you're hearing seriously. Do you know, there's an aspect to that that is a little bit depressing. That the way you are now, except you do something, in the next 20 years, you will be like this. And don't just say, God forbid, determine that that will not be you. Not everything is a compliment. Imagine your friend that you have not seen in 15 years looks at you and says, you have not changed. It may not be a compliment. That your life will remain at the same spots. Or listen, even if you have some traction in your life, you're already moving in your life, that movement, the momentum will not change except if something drastic happens. And if you're not careful, year in, year out, you, if there is any movement at all, just a step. And what makes it even worse is that a lot of Christians don't really understand how prayer works and what God does with prayer. Because you are just praying for things to change. And prayer does not override the law of action. Let me explain. Prayer does four things for you. Prayer, number one, please never forget this. The first goal and usefulness of prayer is communion. Please, what did I call it? You see, and this is an aspect that a lot of people don't understand. We have raised a lot of performative Christians that judge everything according to productivity. But you see, you don't judge the efficacy of a prayer time by how much money you gained by it. If you think in terms of financial benefit, you don't know God. Prayer is first and foremost for communion. That I just love on the Lord. And I'm spending time with Him. And that's the best thing in the world. We're going to spend eternity doing that. Say loud amen. Let me tell you something. There is a depth of communion you touch. You will want nothing else in this world. Nothing else in this world. You see, life has desensitized us from the true dividends of spirituality. Because in life, we measure everything by results. But in the realm of the spirit, just standing in the presence of God is the most fulfilling thing you will ever do in your life. I'm telling you this, that when you stand in the presence of God, there will be nothing else you would rather do. That even the messenger angels get their sense of fulfillment just by standing in the presence of God. That's what gives them joy. Not the service. Even the service of God is secondary. It is God Himself that must be your attention. Say loud amen. And when you spend time communing with God, something else will happen. And that is revelation. Are you listening to me? Revelation. The presence of God will drive you to knowledge. You will study and you will grow. To the degree that they could observe people who had been with Jesus and they could reckon that there was a change. And not these simple men, some of them fishermen. Whence comes this wisdom? And then they took account that they've been with the Lord. When you spend time with the Lord, there is a type of impartation of ancient wisdom. You will just be deep. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You just be deep. You will speak with a kind of depth and clarity that is rare. So you see, the presence of God must drive you to knowledge. And that's why one of the best things God can give to you is a church that has all these devotional attributes in proper balance. It is not enough to attend a praying church. Do they teach the word? Are you listening to me? Because both must go hand in hand. There is something about prayer that crystallizes knowledge. It sits inside you very well. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's just like when you put something in a basin and you shake it. Prayer has that effect. It makes the knowledge seep into you. Deeper and stronger. And then the next thing after that is wisdom. Wisdom. Prayer gives wisdom, or let me call it direction. That I think that's something that you can relate to. The application of revelation, of knowledge. You can call it wisdom or you can call it direction. You see, some of what I'm telling you, before I studied it or I read it in any book or I heard anyone say it, I was experiencing it. And I couldn't really understand. In the early days of my Christianity, I would spend time praying and all of a sudden, I begin to receive like prophetic instructions on what to do. Do this, do this. And so I made it a point of the place of prayer with a notepad and a pen because it became normal to hear God tell me to do specific things. Let me tell you something. That is how I got here. I mean, many times I come out with seven action points. I'm telling you, that's one of the ways my life changed radically. Things to improve about myself, people to reach out to, things to study. You know, I've told you this many times. In the first page of your Bible, the Bible says that the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, and God said, "Let there be light." You see, one of the ways to know that the Holy Spirit is working in your life is instantly there will be a knowledge of what is lacking in your life, what you need to improve. When the Holy Spirit begins to work in your soul, you just know, okay, I need to change this. I must stop this. I must start this. It's the work of God. And I always use this simple example because a lot of people find it relatable. Has it ever happened to you that in the same room that you have been doing business, doing everything, you know, going about your day-to-day activity, the moment you prayed, it now began to irritate you that the room was scattered? Have you ever finished praying and you just started arranging your room? What you are seeing is in a seed form what happened in Genesis 1. Because disorderliness and the move of the Spirit, they are not compatible at all. I'm telling you. You want to know somebody who does business with the Holy Spirit constantly? It's not just by how loud they pray. Look at their life. You will see order. I'm telling you. Nobody who communes with the Holy Spirit regularly will be disorderly. Nobody. It's impossible. The moment the Holy Ghost hovers over the face of the deep, the next thing, let there be light. There might have been darkness for aeons. But the moment the Holy Spirit moves, there will be a spiritual incentive and motivation to change something. So there will be wisdom. Some of you, if you've been spending this time, apart from tearing chicken, communing with the Holy Spirit about next year, He should have started telling you, daughter, next year, this behavior will not follow you. This attitude, son, will not follow you. You know, one of the things the Lord told me last year, you won't spend your money like this. There's something I was always buying. He said, this one. Clear-cut instructions. And then number four is action. Are you listening to me? Action. Action. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas." Has the Lord ever told you what to do as you prayed? If that has never happened to you, you will think Christianity is a scam because you are praying and your life is not changing. So now I'm here to tell you, listen, there is nothing about the passage of time that improves the quality of your life. Your life will remain at the same position, except something external. And for you, this message might be that external force. I'm hoping it will be. That a fire will be shot up in your spirit. And you say, I can't remain like this. My life must change. And then you take actionable steps, except something external alters the predetermined course of your life. You know, a bricklayer can have it as a goal. Next year, I will just lay more blocks so that I'll be able to feed my family. That's not how drastic change happens. But imagine he's able to enroll in a school and just maybe study draftsmanship or architecture. Just imagine. Just imagine. Now, he has improved the quality of his life. What I'm telling you is this. We have a predisposition to just continue the same thing we've been doing. Make excuses about it. And then prayerfully expect something radical to happen. And I'm telling you, life doesn't happen like that. Even if you are prayerful, it doesn't happen like that. And that's part of what I was trying to explain to you in our camp meeting, Metamorphosis. Were you blessed, by the way? Yes, oh my God. So listen, so if my life will be better, if my walk with God will be better, what must change? some of you, you can never follow God with the friends you have. It's not possible. It's not possible. With the company you keep, you can't, it won't work. You've tried. It's not working. You know it won't work. Are you ready for the next one I'm about to say? Some of you, the person you are dating, as long as you're dating that person, you cannot follow God. Some relationships must not follow you to 2025. They must end. For some of you, this is a confirmation from heaven. You will send that text. And you know what? I'm helping you clear the road so that the person God has destined can see road. Don't let them block your website. Let who God has destined see road to toast you. Are you listening to me? You know, sometimes I act like I'm joking, but it's a prophetic word. So what is going to change in your health? What is going to change? Listen to me. Do you want to be healthy when you are 80? Don't just pray. Don't just say amen. What are you doing about it? With the way you are drinking alcohol, you cannot be, you know, be swear. You cannot be healthy and you are justifying it. The Bible is against drunkenness, not against drinking. You are right, but you may die. And the Bible is not against dying. Listen, even unbelieving scientists have told you there is no nutritional benefit to alcohol. None whatsoever. There is no net positive in drinking. No net positive. It is just negative. Listen, it's the product of marketing. Because I think you need to have fallen for some marketing scam for you to know that something... See, for you to have options of things to drink that are equally nice. Except you have damaged your tongue to begin with. You see orange juice. You see water. It is the one that may damage some organs in your body, reduce your lifespan, or even give you an addiction, make you die, you know, because you were drunk and driving, make you do so. See, let me tell you something. One irrational decision can change your life forever. Because you may go through something in your life, you are in a downtime, something a normal person will go through and come out. You, because you have a drinking habit, you are depressed. Now you are drinking. The same anger that you would have controlled before, you blew someone in the head, gave him a punch. The person fell down and died. Are you aware? Listen, it takes just one mistake. One mistake. I saw a video years ago. A guy was angry. People were trying to hold him. You know, some people, when they are trying to hold you, you feel powerful. That, leave me! They were holding it. Leave me! Push them like this. Carry the stone. Hit someone's head. Bam! And the person died on the spot. Just few minutes can change your life forever. 30 years after your ex-convict. One mistake. There are some things you do, you will never be the same again. Never be the same again. And it will take the grace of God for you to recover. Because your eye was not clear. Maybe when you were hitting with stone, you thought it was biro. You were surprised he died. And the judge will say, wow. And we need to give you time to reflect on what you've done. Please wear him uniform. God forbid. Let me tell you something. You know, another trick of the devil is when you hear things like this, you think it can never be you. Just learn it now. Learn it now. There are some things you must learn early. Learn to control temper. You know, a lot of people have ended relationships with people who are destiny helpers because you were angry. Let me tell you something. It's part of what I want to teach next year, and I got a title from a book. Funny enough, I've not even read the book, but it just encapsulates what I want to teach on you know, behavioral science. How to hug a porcupine. You know, a porcupine has spikes. So, in essence, you must learn to deal with difficult people. There are some people in your destiny. They are important for your next level, but they will not treat you nicely. And you must have the humility to press through it. Don't go tell your boss, enough is enough. Wait till self. Because of how much? Because of how much? In tipping era. You just say something to your helper. Eh? You calm down. Calm down. Calm down. I remember when we're doing our adoption process for Nasara. Oh my God, they talked to me anyhow. Anyhow. I made excuses for them. I know that a lot of people, you know, try to adopt people and treat them wrongly, you know, so maybe they've seen a lot. But I just couldn't say anything right. Any small thing, the woman was triggered. So I think about that time, it hadn't been long, I came back from Abuja, I was in Lagos. So then I said, so what branch of your church? You say you have branches, what branch, where is your church? Imagine asking me that. That's a tough question to answer, right? So I said, we have so and so branches. I didn't ask you how many branches you have. Yeah. Just talking to me anyhow. And then at some point, as she was trying to talk, my wife tried to chime in, you know, to put some clarity. And she just looked at my wife and said, shut up. My body like, my body did like this. I was feeling something and it was not the power of God. It was not. Something was rising on my leg. You know? Just think about it. The girl was there. Her life was hanging on my ability to control my temper. Her life, her destiny. Think about it. Imagine I just said, no, be your fault. Who are you? What do you, what? Then I say, okay, bam, just can't. You know? And PL helped me because the moment she said, shut up, Theo said, okay, ma. Hey! Wow. You know? But in the car, I jokingly say, ah, so you get respect like this. So as we enter the house, I'm just playing, you know. Is 2025 going to be a better year for you? What will you do? How much do you want it to be a better year? I asked about your health. I asked about your walk with God. What about relationship with people? Can I tell you something? And I'm saying this, God sees my... Ah, okay, I won't say it. But let me say this. So another thing you need to work on, your finances, okay? And for some people, the moment they hear finance in church, the body will just... It's village people that is doing... You know, your body will just start shaking. Calm down. You see, the only reason I'm talking about this is because I love you. That's why. You see, I'm not broke. I'm not trying to raise an offering. If a biological father is talking, asking his son about his financial goals, maybe an 18-year-old, it's because he cares. And one thing I want to establish, listen, please, everybody look at me. Financial empowerment is not a luxury. It's not a luxury, especially for a child of God. The Bible says that anyone who is rich should be rich in good works. That is our destiny, so that you can help. Some of you have not heard me say this before. The first, you know, pregnancy my wife had, we lost it. All right? And that's a long story, okay? And there's a longer story. You see, sometimes, and I'm just saying this in case it encourages someone, sometimes that is God's way of making sure that any child that would have been born with any significant defect, do you understand, is weeded out of the way so that you don't have to spend your life, you know, suffering. At least that's what I say to comfort myself. It's true though. But then she got pregnant again, and after a while, one Sunday afternoon, she was spotting. Now, this was a long time ago. How much was my church allowance then? I think 50K. We rushed to a good hospital, and you can imagine, after the first one, I'm not going to go to any funny hospital. So we rushed to a hospital, and they looked at her, examined her, and said, we must admit her now. It will cost 200,000. I did not have 200,000. Are you listening to me? I am saying that, but for the mercy of God, I would have lost edema if I didn't have 200,000. I'm putting it like that so that you would think about it. I would have lost edema, my sweet edema, because of 200,000. It is not a luxury to have resources. And anybody who tries to downplay it, I know that there are extremes in the church. There are some people who take it to another extreme and give you the impression that if you don't have money, it's because your walk with God is not strong. As if financial gain is a reflection of your spiritual status. It's a lie. It's not true. It has nothing to do with your spiritual status at all. That's why there are unbelievers who are very wealthy. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? This is important. There are churches who even make people who don't have resources feel like, you know, they are human beings. That's sad. I've been speaking about against it for the longest. But at the end of the day, to have a sensible passage in this life, you need resources, and God wants you to have resources. Don't see, the reason is important for us to say it is this. Some people just say, hey, just go through life. If you have, fine. You know what? You can't make money by chance. Do you know that? You will have to be deliberate. And we are talking about planning for next year. That's why I'm telling you this. Anybody who gives you that impression is lying to you. You know, something happened just weeks ago. This one crystallized it for me that you see here. It is not luxury because, of course, you can say 200K was small. I was broke. I accept. But let me give you another example. Just weeks ago, there's a relative I have. Now, that relative has been sick before, terminal illness. I prayed for the relative and the person was healed. Healed by the next morning. Medically proven testimony. But you see, this relative now was in serious pain just weeks ago. And the doctor said, we need to operate you instantly. Now, I hear this as I'm praying and fasting for a boot camp. Prayed for the person over the phone. Wasn't getting better. We need to do this operation now. How much will it cost? 5 million. Are you listening to me? Now, see, I'm not talking about buying a car. I'm not talking about... I am just telling you that at some point in your life, somebody you love will need your financial assistance. I'm not telling you to be rich so that you can be flamboyant. I am just saying, Are you getting what I'm saying now? By the time we called the relative, she was already crying. She saw the bill and started crying because she knew she doesn't have the money from anywhere. I can't explain how I felt. Just imagine, you know, my wife called the person. When she heard the person crying, she just joined me to the call. My wife wanted me to hear it as myself. When I heard her cry, I have never been so thankful that I could help in my life before. Never been so helpful. I hope you know, in this economy, if you have 5 million, you are rich. You know that, Abi? So now, in that context, having 5 million, was it a luxury? So we are not talking about opulence. We're talking about being in a position. And listen, if you don't have that money now, it's okay. By the grace of God and by the providence of God, it is either God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. Say loud amen. God will not allow you to see the problem that your money cannot solve. Say loud amen. No. But I am saying, the desire for more, don't allow anybody gaslight you into thinking you are materialistic. Don't allow anybody gaslight you into thinking that. I look at this year, the families have helped, and I'm like, God, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. The number of, you know, interestingly, maybe there is something God wants to do in this church, because I think the last midweek service I came, I said this also. The number of people who have cried and told me thank you this year and have prayed for me from their spirit. Has someone prayed for you wailing before? As I sent to that relative, the friends came to me to say, thank you, you saved us. Like, we looked around, all of us. If you add all of us together, we didn't have this money. You saved us. And we're talking about something. It's not like you can say, okay, let's give it 3 months. The person is in pain. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? There are some things, even if you're not strong in theology, if you understand the love of God, you will know the will of God. Anybody who is arguing that it is the will of God for you to have at least a decent amount of resources, I'm not talking about for flexing. Just to be a blessing to others, to be a blessing to yourself. See, let me just say this to you. As long as I'm your pastor, you know, it's just like the prophet said, as for me and my house, you must blow. Yeah. Do you understand? I have prayerfully decided on your behalf. See, and with the teaching of the word, God will continue to help your heart. Can I tell you something? You don't know what I'm worth, though. You don't. I don't walk like it. I don't talk like it. And I can tell you, by the grace of God, I will never change. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you think I'm worth, I'm probably broker than that. Just to calm you down. You understand? But I'm just saying, it is possible to carry resources and have sense and just walk around with a sense of responsibility that God blessed me to be a blessing. I am not talking about opulence or flexing. I'm talking about being able to be there for others and even for yourself. And there are a few ways God can do that for you. One of the things I want to teach throughout next year is honor. Let me tell you something. If you develop a culture of honor, your life will change. Just learn how to make sure nobody feels small around you. What I just said has financial benefits. When people see your presence as a plus, there are some simple things. You know, I was talking to a very wealthy man because he did something for our church. When he did something for the church, I flew. Did you hear what I said? I booked flight, flew to his house. I said, I wanted to thank you personally. He was shocked. I don't know if I should say this or not. Then he told me about the man of God that he sent 100 million naira, and he replied with text, thanks, may the Lord, you know, said. See, let me tell you something. That one now, he will never see favor again and will be wondering what happened, that he's prayerful, what is happening? He said, the Lord bless you. Thanks. 100 million. You know, see, there are some things prayer can never help you. You are finished. If you don't change some attitude. Forget it. As I saw him like this, you are there now. Healing. As he came in like this, I started healing him. He's an Igbo guy. I asked my Igbo friend to give me Igbo healing. I can't remember it because I crammed it. You know, so I said, you use MTM mask to do toothpick. You just Igbo. I can remember one. I said, Utalia na piego or something like that. You use cane to flog money. Yeah, see, you will pray for him. Oh. You will say, God bless you. But John, is that what I'm saying? Appreciate people, my friend. Appreciate people. You know, something happened. I'm telling you real life stories. I don't know. I just feel moved. I can talk of it. I wish we could turn off the stream, but you know, there was an opportunity that church should not have missed. We needed to pay for something instantly. And the money that we had, we couldn't access it. For some, it's a long, you know. So now I'm thinking, if this deadline should pass, we're going to miss a great opportunity. What do we do? I wanted to give more context, but it's not necessary. What do we do? I need a lot of money. I'm talking not 100 million, 200 million, not 400. I'll stop there. Because some of your hearts cannot take it. So, and I'm saying this for a reason. I made two phone calls. The first person, you know, because first and foremost, I never ask for anything. Never ask. You need something? It will be done. I don't know how we can pull these resources, but it will be done. So the person was moving around, you know, and all of that. But now, I needed to do before close of business, and the notice was short, admittedly. So 4 p.m. had come. I don't want to miss this opportunity. So I called someone else, you know. And this is why I tell you, just be nice. Are you listening to me? What you work for in 50 years somebody can give you as a gift. As I was explaining, the explanation was an inconvenience. What do you want? I said, then we need to do this. What do you want? And we need to do this. What do you... Okay, we need this amount. Done. And for context, it was a loan. We just needed to... I said, we'll give you back next week. Because the money we were trying to get is going to come in and blah, 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 blah. So... in 1 hour, the money had landed. And then by the evening, the first person I called, that one too landed. Are you listening? So, on Saturday, I called the second person I called and I said, thank you very much. I sent a message. I said, of course, I'd called already. I sent a message and I said, thank you very much. The money came in earlier than we expected. Please send an account number. Let us return it. And the person called, is there any rush? Are you listening? It's like you're not ready for what I'm saying. is there any rush? And I said, we have the money. He said, okay, is there not anything else you want to do? So I started explaining again. Well, there's this thing. What do you want? Last, I said, okay, let me give you back December 2025. He said, done. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm only telling you this for a reason. One of the ways that you can become a rich person is not by your account. Are you listening to me? One of the ways that God changes your life is by quality relationships. See, you need to understand it so that you don't joke with it. Another mistake people will make is they are now looking for rich people to be nice to. You have made a mistake. You have made a mistake. Most of the people who can step in for you like that are people that you have known before they became who they are. Are you getting what I'm saying? Just be a good Christian. Just honor people generally. Generally. Why am I telling you this? Because when I tell you, hey, you can do more financially. You're not like, I'm working hard already. So I'm telling you, first and foremost, you're looking in the wrong direction. It is not just the works of your hands. It's by quality relationships. There are some people. Are you listening to me? If they lose their mom, book flights. Don't say it's in the East. Go there. My friend, what are you doing with your time? Are you listening to me? I should just teach Greek and Hebrew. You prefer that? Another thing you should focus on is on your gifts. Is on your gifts. See, if they empty your bank accounts, two things can bring you back. The quality of your relationships and the quality of your gifts. They can bring you back instantly. Please invest in yourself. Invest in yourself. Invest in yourself. Don't just mindlessly do what others are doing. All right? For some of you, can I say this? Will you forgive me if it does not apply in your context? For some of you, masters is a bad idea. You have no business doing master's degree. You are just doing it because everybody is doing it. You have to understand, school is a business for somebody. It's a business. And they will package one course that will not change your life and collect more money from you. So you need to be smart. You need to look at your environment and say, what service can I really render here that will empower me financially? And do I even need a degree for it? Do I even need a degree for it? If you've been working for a while, some of you know it is not many of the things that bring you money, you didn't need a degree for it. So what? So now think about it. In a poor economy like this, some families will gather 30 million to help someone travel for masters. Now I'm thinking, what if you had a vision that had a proven track record that you could channel that energy towards? If your family can come together for something, is it to give someone who has school money? So what if that... Are you getting what I'm saying at all? So now, I don't think it may, you know, see, if you are a technocrat or if you're going to study medicine or law, the more the merrier. Get all the degrees. 100 degrees safe get. All right? So that you'll be hotter. Do you understand? 100 degrees. I'm just playing. It's okay. Don't worry. Just focus on what I'm saying. Make no mistake. Some degrees change your life. An MBA is always a good idea. Always a good idea. No matter what you are doing. No matter what you read in school. An MBA is always a good idea. All I'm saying is take a step back. Count the cost. Don't just throw money. You know, I'll tell you something. I don't know why I'm in the mood. So I'll tell you something. There's a guy. He had one windfall years ago. He had a government contract. And when he got the money, he took all the money and put in what is called a high yield investment. Do you know what that is? I don't want to mention brands, but please, this is not an endorsement. All right, this is not an endorsement. Okay? And still talk to financial experts, assess the risks. But I know high yield investment is relatively safe. Okay? So, have you heard of maybe like an app like CowrieWise? Now, he put the money in high yield investments, and every day, just imagine, he gets about 60,000 naira interest, and his capital, you know, oh, see, I hate Forex. This is my personal. Anything you can put money into and the money can disappear will never make sense to me. Nobody has been able to convince me that can I lose money? If I can lose, I'm not interested. I hate Bitcoin. Yes. Anything that can cause tears, I will only cry for souls. That's my. I can never foolish. No. I don't like. I will never be intelligent enough to understand that I put money somewhere and I checked and it's not there. Nah, scam. I know they don't tell me. It works for some people. I'm just saying, me personally, I can never put my money in such a thing. But now this kind of investment, your principal is always intact. You know, and all of that. And you're earning. So now I'm just wondering, many of the people who are putting maybe their money for jackpot, and then you go there to be middle class, to be washing plates. Meanwhile, somebody has his money in an investment, and just by the returns he's making on a daily basis, he's not spending money. On one hand, you are saving your principal. On the other hand, the money you are getting as an interest, you are using it for your day-to-day expenditure. It's just one of the many smart things to do. Do you get what I'm saying? See, However the Lord leads you, all I'm saying is this. There are some definite changes you can make in your life against next year. Definite changes. Some of you, the car you are driving does not correlate with the money in your account. Go and sell that car, my friend. Who did they impress? And the funny thing is, if you play your cards right, is it car? Don't eat your seed, is what I'm saying. If you play your cards right, you can. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't fall for the culture. Impressing people that will not know you. Just let your money disappear and see if they will still remain your friends. Who are you impressing? Focus, my friend. Focus. Turn your Bibles, the book of Ecclesiastes, as I begin to bring this to a close. Did I waste your time? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, from verse 4 to 9. One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to its place where it arose. The wind goes towards the south and towards around the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again in its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from whence the rivers came. There they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will what? What? And that which is done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Let me ask you this. Has it ever happened to you that you were awake at midnight and it was past midnight and someone had to keep reminding you it's a new day, it's a new day? Do you understand? Maybe you greeted someone good evening and they were like, oh, good morning, and you kept correcting yourself. The concept of a new day is in some sense an illusion. The concept of a new year is in some sense an illusion, because while the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold, heat shall not cease. The only thing that has the capacity to be new is you. You can become a new person. And when you become a new person, the year can then become a new year indeed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't deceive yourself that 2025 in and of itself will present you something better than what 2024 presented. Because it is the quality of your life that commands what a year can yield to you. Just determine. And again, please let me put this as a caveat and as a balance. If you've done your best, you know under heaven you've done your best, and what you have is what you have, be content. Are you getting what I'm saying? No pressure. This is where we are different from the world. Those who have money and those who don't have money, they sit at the table and God is the father of them all. We don't judge by possessions. Our contentment and satisfaction comes from the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I am telling you that it is possible to be ambitious for a selfless cause. Not because it changes how you see yourself. You are who you are in Christ. Chosen. Beloved. Come on. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sanctified. You are worth the blood of Christ. So give it your best. Oh my God. You know, sometimes I see people who have not allowed the lack of resources define them. Have you seen people like that? The way they walk, the way they exert themselves. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen someone, don't lie, and by the priorities of the person's life and the effort that the person exudes, you know that if the person had the privileges you had, they would do better than you. There are just some people that carry themselves well and give life their best. And I salute people like that. No matter the outcome in your life, at least be able to stand before God without blame, so that you will know that it was not a lack of personal exertion that was the problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because you have to understand, when God created man, he put him in a garden to tend it and to keep it. God never built a man a house. God never built a man a chair. What God gives a man is trees. And so to have dominion requires that you take initiative. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so, what a man that God has made should learn to do, should look, is to look around. What are the resources around me? What are the relationships that I should be able to forge? What is the wisdom that I should be able to acquire? So Adam looked at a tree. He recognized the need. I need to sit down. He didn't just pray about it, because God has said have dominion. You see, many Christians only pray about needs. When God has said have dominion, he has put you in a garden. Your tree, your chair is in the tree. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm saying this in a prophetic, metaphorical way so that you can recognize how it applies in your own context. Your chair is in the tree. It will take wisdom, not just prayer, to recognize that I can carve a chair out of this so that I can have rest. I'm going to need to recognize my gifts, package my gifts, deploy my gifts. And at the end of the day, I know the economy is hard everywhere, but there is something about life. More often than not, anybody who is intentional and deliberate about improving his life, eventually life will usually cave in and give you what is due. If you will not give up, you keep exerting yourself, you keep investing, acquiring knowledge, acquiring relationships, eventually life will yield something to you now. Eventually. That's all I'm here to tell you. Will you walk out next year? I'm not just talking about New Year resolution that by February. Do you understand? What structure have you created for that? I think, educated guess, I might be busier than at least 90% of you. And I walked out at least once a week throughout this year. At least once a week. At least once a week. If I drank cold water this year, maybe 4 times. Did you hear what I said? I don't drink carbonated drinks. If I've done it this year, this year, for some reason, it was sometimes I just needed energy. So, but usually I don't at all. Water or fresh juice. Set the goals now. Set the goals. What about your kids? How present will you be for them? Set the goals. Somebody asked me, how are you able to create time for all these things? I said, life is like a journey. Has it ever happened to you? We're about to travel, and because you were rushing, you threw all your clothes inside the traveling bag and you discovered that you couldn't zip it. So you now brought everything out one after the other and folded it. You now realize the same bag actually had more capacity if there is order. You have more time than you realize. You just need to organize your time. 3 days before reboot camp, I was in my children's school for end of year party. 3 days before reboot camp. I had had a vigil that morning. I had prayed, I had fasted, but I showed up for them. In fact, when they called parents to participate, I participated. I read Bible reading. I danced with the children. You know, you see, they will not lose their father because I accepted the call. Nobody them accept call. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is time for everything important in your life. Order your time. Order your time. 2025. One more time. Just see from the eyes of your spirit the kind of year it will be. Can I tell you this? God told me about the year 2025 in 2010. Those who are close to me know. I've been saying it. And mark my words, you will see. Levels are changing again. God, I have prepared for 2025 for the past 15 years. There are some things. I will say it when it happens. I will say it when it happens. 2010, God said, in 15 years, such and such and such will happen. So I'm just letting you know there is a prophetic window. The river is dead, but you need to jump in. Are you getting ready? Have you learned anything? I want to give you a few minutes because, you know, church people are always excited. Write something. Oh, yeah. What are you going to change based on all the things that you've been hearing? What are you going to change in your life? I'm giving you a few minutes. Make it count. 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 And see a way. Listen, say with me, I see a way. I've discovered the moment you agree in your spirit, there is a way out. There is always a way out. If you cannot build the house, team up with five friends. Five friends that are equally angry with poverty. Just join money, build it, and keep it. Let it appreciate. Just be determined. Is that okay? Amen, somebody. I want you to pray a prayer. Please stand to your feet. Because there is a prophetic dimension to these things. Lord, what is one thing that if I change, the quality of my life will be better? I will be more of a blessing to the kingdom, to my friends, to my peers. What is that one thing? Open my eyes to see. I want you to pray that from your heart. Pray that from your heart. He said, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask. Ask. Ask now. Ask. I didn't say whisper. His word says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Lord, by wisdom, direct me. Direct me. In my walk with you, direct me. What ought I to know? Open my eyes. 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 I hear in my spirit a word for one of you here. The Lord is asking me to tell you there is good in this land. There is good in this land. There is good in this land. It's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn. And it's time for a turnaround for the better. I receive angelic help for a new level. I give you a few seconds. Cry out to the Lord right now. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Sata kapaya andara ponde kapande le kabaya rasanda kapande le kabe prende reconte kipalande kaya asando paratambe le kanemo. Kende remande le kaya. It's time to write that book. It's time to take that decision. It's time to relocate. The hand of the Lord is upon you. His favor has made a difference in your life. Go, says the Spirit of God. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. Please pick your books. The last thing I want to say. How many books will you read next year? Ah, the secrets you need. Someone has, see, part of knowing that there is nothing new under the sun is to understand that what you are trying to do, someone has done it. Did you hear what I just said? What you are trying to do, someone has done it. Go and read up on it. Go and read. Go and read. How many books will you read next year? If possible, at least the first few books, write them. As in, maybe not now, but and be disciplined. Be disciplined. Do it like your life depends on it. Can I pray for you? Do you believe in a prophetic edge? Please lift your hands. In the name of Jesus, maybe the Lord orchestrated this meeting for your sake. I bless you with the blessing of a prophet. The Bible says, believe his prophet and you shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, by supernatural advantage, move to the next level. Let your eyes be open to recognize prophetic opportunities. There is a way in the wilderness, and there are rivers in the desert, and you prosper even in austere times. See, your eyes are open to recognize the folly in your way. Anything you need to correct is corrected. Any error you need to correct is corrected. Any friend that you need to unfriend is unfriended. And anyone that you need to befriend is befriended. Let the wisdom of the Lord envelop you like a garment. Let the angels of the Lord assist you. Receive angelic assistance. Receive angelic assistance. Receive angelic assistance. I prophesy. The plan of the enemy to take the life of any one of you is canceled. In your going out, you are blessed. In your coming in, you are blessed. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. The wisdom of the Lord has saved you from destiny-shattering actions and decisions. Anything that you are doing currently that can sabotage God's plan for your life is exposed and excluded from your life.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Say this with me. My eyes are open to recognize prophetic opportunities for productivity, for enterprise, for investment, and for spiritual development. Say, this is the least I will ever be, because I'm blessed to be a blessing. Shout glory, 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 glory. This is a prophetic moment. Shout glory, 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 glory. Woo! Come on. Where we come from, jumping is not hype. It's a prophetic moment. This is how we take territories. I said, shout glory, 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 glory. I give you 2 minutes to make it count. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Please be seated.